Into our third hour. What's going on? Welcome to the program. Hope you are having a great day. Coming off a good weekend. Nice to have you here. I'm live. I'm in Southern California in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family, then Rocket can. I know this. I'm not sure about your day, but I'm having a real good show. Really good show because it was a great weekend. Telephone number is toll free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. I've been very anxious to have this conversation all morning long. We are joined now by a safety for the Buffalo Bills. He is a two-time All-Pro. He is a Pro Bowler. He had an enormous pick. He had a pass defense. He had a couple of tackles. He had a couple of punt returns for 54 yards. On the season, 74 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss, a sack, 5 INTs, 2 fumble recoveries, and a touchdown. In the regular season, played his college ball at Iowa. Founder of the Imagine for Youth Foundation, and it's a big one. They're all big now. Buffalo at Kansas City, Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Micah Hyde is my guest. Micah, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, man, that was the introduction, man. Appreciate it.
My man, that's because you're a player. So I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. I mean, there are a million things that I would love to talk to you about coming off that win. I talked to Jordan Poyer last week, and we were talking, Micah, about what he was expecting to see from the Bills Mafia Saturday night. Let me start there. What was the atmosphere like before and during the game for you?
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. It was amazing. Obviously, we had a home playoff game last year, but you know the fans weren't able to sell out. So, you know, the other night was just remarkable. As soon as we were able to run out the tunnel, that energy in that stadium, you know, driving to the stadium, seeing the people tailgate and all that type of stuff, you know, it was just one of those feelings that we just knew we were going to win.
Micah Hyatt joining us. So the team started to turn things around when you arrived in 2017. Was a night like Saturday night something that you were envisioning when you first signed with the Bills?
For sure. For sure. And I remember Sean having a conversation when we got here in 2017, and he talked about, you know, having home playoff games, and it's, you know, the cold weather, you can hear the salt underneath your feet as you're walking into the stadium. That's what we envisioned, and obviously we've got to keep it going.
We're talking to Micah Hyde. So the way the game starts off, the offense goes right down and scores on the first possession. New England drives, and it looks like they've got a good look at a touchdown. You erase it. Can you take me through the play? An amazing play. Exactly what did you see on it?
Yeah, on that drive, they were driving the ball. Got a couple of third down conversions on us, which, you know, obviously wasn't ideal. Then they took a shot, double move on the outside, had receivers to my right. So I knew, you know, they were my vertical threats over there. I feel like I had a bad jump. You know, Mac Jones pumped it first, and then he threw it, on the second one. And I feel like I could have got a better jump. But as I was running over, I just wanted to make a play on the – so the receiver, I thought I was going to have to, you know, hit the receiver. And I look up and the ball was, you know, kind of floating there. And I saw it and was, you know, just able to make a big play for us and, you know, kind of put the momentum back on our side. And, you know, I think it really turned the tides of the game.
No doubt. Micah Hyde joining us. Now, when I say, Micah, that it was an incredible play, Jordan Poyer said he thought it might have been the most unbelievable play he's ever seen. He said kind of what you just said, you got kind of a late jump on it, but you covered so much ground and got there in time. Like, how would you describe the emotions and energy that goes through you when you make a play like that?
It's kind of crazy. I didn't, you know, really know what I did. I was going back to the sideline. Obviously, everyone was freaking out because it was a cool play, but I didn't really, it was kind of one of those things I just, like, blacked out. You know, I was just running to the ball, made a play. And then after that, like, celebrating, it was just, you know, it all happened so fast, and I feel like I just blacked out. And it wasn't until after the game where one of my family members showed me the video of the catch, and I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I just think that this whole year, you know, guys on defense and even offense, you know, making big plays for us, and, you know, I just happened to make that on Saturday night.
We're talking to Micah Hyde. You know, I'm going to ask about how the two units feed off each other, but I'm curious, instead of it possibly being a 7-7 game, right, you make that play, the offense goes down, you score again, and next thing you know, it's 14-0. Seems to me a lot of teams might maybe take their foot off the gas at that point, but you guys didn't, which was so impressive. What was the attitude on the sideline and in the defensive huddle like when you had that lead and just kept piling on?
Well, we preach all the time, you know, in our building, just, you know, affecting the quarterback, the other team's quarterback, and I think you do that by getting up, obviously getting a couple scores, making them one-dimensional and pass and try to pass the ball. And then from there, we try to get some takeaways. So, we had a fast start, and we've always, you know, throughout the season been preaching about finishing ball games. I don't think we've done that well throughout the regular season of finishing games. You know, when we've been up a couple scores, we kind of let teams linger around. And you know, it was good to go out there on Saturday night and just finish the job, man. We played complimentary football. The offense was going crazy. It was amazing to be a part of that game, just seeing them work and, you know, just seeing how hard they work in practice and to go out there and do what they did. Obviously, special teams were making plays. Defense was shutting them down. So it was just a complete game. Coach did an awesome job putting the game plan together, and, you know, we executed it to perfection.
Micah Hyde breaking it down for us in terms of that complimentary football. So what about that? Like, that was as complete a game as I've seen a team play in a long, long time. The offense did score 7 straight TDs, but you guys dominated defensively too. How much do both sides of the ball feed off one another?
Well, you know, if we could do that every game, we would. But obviously, this is the NFL. It's tough. It's challenging every week to try to get in that position. But we know what type of offense we have. You know, I'm speaking defensively. We know what type of offense we have. So if we can get them the ball back, whether if it's a takeaway, good field position, whatever it may be, you know, we know that they're going to put up some points. So, you know, we preach complimentary football a lot. And like I said, it was good to go out there and actually do it from start to finish.
So, Mike, a few things before you go. I'm curious. The Bills fans, obviously, man, they were having so much fun. They were having a blast during, after the win, probably still right now. I'm curious, as a player, how do you approach that? I mean, do you celebrate that win for a little bit and then start prepping for this Sunday, or do you not even celebrate at all?
You know, after the game, it's always, you know, a 24-hour rule. You know, we celebrate, obviously, the win. It's hard to win in this league, especially a playoff game. It's really hard. So, you know, you can you know, kind of for the 24 hours celebrate. And, you know, I just always come home and hang with the family, wake up to the kids the next day. And that's kind of my celebrating. And then, you know, after that, you know, watching the game last night, it's back, you know, now it's on to the Chiefs.
I got you. So you've won 5 straight, and the team has played at a really high level ever since falling behind 24-3 in the first half at Tampa Bay. What has changed for the team over that stretch, and did you find something in that game from a scheme or a chemistry standpoint? Did something happen in coming back in that game?
Well, I think, you know, every season you have an eye-opening moment. I think at halftime of that Tampa game, you know, I think we all really looked ourselves in the eyes and was like, you know, we're a better football team than this. You know, we felt like we had a horrible first half. Obviously, that's a very good football team, but we just felt like we didn't play our game. And so at halftime, I can remember, you know, a lot of the older guys speaking up and saying, hey, like, we're going to go out there, we're going to fight. We're going to get this thing close into the fourth quarter, and we're going to win this game. And I think that, you know, even though we didn't win that game, you know, we had some opportunities at the end too. And I think that was the eye-opening moment. We just realized that we're a good football team. We're a very good football team. We got to play complimentary football. And we can compete with anybody in this league. And I think that was the eye-opening moment.
Right. Micah Hyde joins me for a couple of more moments. Listen, I know it's not about you. I'm not trying to make it about you. But when I had this conversation with Jordan Poyer last week, I mentioned that I can't believe I'm still having this conversation, but he was a Pro Bowl snub this year, and so were you. How much does that bother you?
Obviously, we're all competitors. You know, we all want the recognition. You know, obviously myself, I'm here to get a ring. I want the Super Bowl ring. But at the same time, we're all competitors. We want to be the best. And so, you know, it fuels us a little bit. Obviously, you see the All-Pro stuff come out, and, you know, we're both on that list. And I'm just, you know, beyond blessed to be on the list and beyond blessed to see Poe on there too. Just knowing how hard we work each and every day, how much we push each other, how much we push this team. But at the end of the day, you know, to not be on that Pro Bowl stuff, you know, it's definitely fueling us a little bit.
I get that, and I'm not going to belabor this, but I don't know how you square or how they square you being an All-Pro but not being in the Pro Bowl. But again,
yeah, like, I don't know how that works.
I don't either. I'm not going to belabor it. So really quickly, you've got the number one ranked defense in the league in points allowed, yards allowed. Leslie Frazier's name is coming up for a number of head coaching jobs once again. What is it about him that makes him so special as a coach?
He's a player's coach. Never too high, never too low. After any game, we could be up by 30. We could win by 30, we could lose by 30. He's the same guy the next day. He's talking about what we can do to get better. and you know, just hardest work, one of the hardest working coaches. He listens to us. If we have a suggestion on a play or on a defense, he'll listen to us. He'll change it. He'll tweak it a little bit. Honestly, just a player's coach is a blessing to be. You know, obviously, I don't want to see him leave. I don't want to see him go anywhere, selfishly. But just the amount of hard work he's put in, you know, since I've been here for 5 years, just amazing. And it's crazy to me that just now he's getting the recognition he deserves.
I get that, right? It's tough because you love the man and you want him to get an opportunity, but you don't want to lose the guy either because he's so valuable.
Exactly.
I get that,
exactly.
Too. Last thought, you're facing Patrick Mahomes in KC Sunday or this weekend. It's going to be the third time you've played them in their place in less than a year. So how much can you take away from the previous two meetings that you can apply to this one, or maybe not so much? Is it all different?
Well, I think, you know, obviously playing in the AFC Championship game last year, that was a big game. We felt like we didn't play our best. You know, we watched a lot of that film during the offseason and into the game that we played the Chiefs this year. But I just think we're both, you know, I guess, you know, same players. You can watch that to see how guys play. But I think we're both just different teams, you know, at this point in the playoffs. You know, they were struggling early in the year, you know, especially defensively. They got that thing turned around, and they're moving right now. Obviously, the weapons they have on offense, you know, they can put points up with, you know, with anybody. And then, you know, for us, I think we're a totally different football team too. Even though we won that game, we had our ups and downs. We kind of had a roller coaster of a season. And so I think now we're playing our best ball, and it's gonna be fun, man. It's gonna be exciting. That place is gonna be electric. I love playing at Arrowhead. I'm really, really excited to get this game going.
It's going to be insane. Buffalo at KC, Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. He is a two-time All-Pro now and a Pro Bowler, Micah Hyde. Micah, I didn't mean to keep you that long, but what a good interview. Thank you so much. I appreciate you always being available to us on this program, especially after a win like that. Have a great week. Good luck, and thanks for doing that.
I appreciate you, Jim. Thank you, man. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate you, Micah, very, very much. Sincerely, Micah Hyde. But Buffalo Bills are something. Bills Mafia is something. The Bills organization is something. Always make their guys available. When I went on Kim Pagula's podcast last week, I told her, she said, what is it about your show and the Bills Mafia? Like, there's a really strong connection. And I said, always has been. Always, always. Going back to the 90s, you had classic Bills that would come on this show. Marv Levy would come on the show. Jim Kelly would come on the show. Thurman Thomas would come on the show. Cornelius Bennett was always one of my favorites. He would come on the show. Steve Tasker would come on the show. We had our famous, quote, Crap Chester tour stop in the summertime. Daryl Talley made an appearance at the tour stop. That was the famous tour stop where we had the O.J. White Bronco. I came into the stadium driving in the White Bronco. And the place lost it. There's always been a great connection between that part of the country and the organization and the players. And even in the lean years, guys would still come on. And now that they're back and they're great and they've got to look at this thing, the players are still available. Look, I'm not going to lie. This team and this organization have always been very good to this program. I love the Bills. KC, there's a lot to like about KC, too. I'll tell you what else I love. I love that matchup. Love that they're going to run it back again on Sunday, because you know every single Bill, every single member of that organization has been thinking about that game since it ended, and they're going to run it back. Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. It was cold as hell Saturday night. I'm still waiting for one of you Buffalo Bills fans to explain to me what you do on a day like that. If you could take me through it and explain what it's like. What time do you get up? Where do you start your day? If it's a night game and it's 5 degrees and the wind chill is below zero and you know you're going to play under the lights and it's going to be a long, long, long day, when does that day start? Where does it start? How do you get through it? How hard do you go before the game? How hard do you go during the game? How do you stay warm? And when you finally win a game like that and you win it emphatically like that, you beat the hell out of your enemy. Does it then spill into a local bar? Do you keep that party going? Is that how you stay warm? What time do you finally get home? When you do finally get home, do you just fall out? Hit the sack hard. Do you get in a hot bath? What do? Or do you keep the party going once you get home? A nightcap? Or do you go final? I've got to know. I'm really curious how those days go. And how many of you are going to try to get to Kansas City? How many of you are looking to make that flight to KC? All right, let me take a short time out. 1-800-636-8686. I haven't given you my full thoughts on that game, although we have gotten into it. I could talk. I already gave you my prediction along with the big head for tonight's game. Rams and Cardinals, a continuation of the Super Wild Card Weekend. Bengals, they're getting short shrift today. What an enormous win that was for them. And yes, the referees did play a role in that, unfortunately. But they did not in the Dallas game. Cowboy fan, don't come in here with that. Get that crap out of here. The refs did not call a quarterback draw with no timeouts left. We have finished the interview portion of the program, so the rest belongs to you. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I really do appreciate the Buffalo Bills, the players, the organization, the coaches, the mafia. They make this show better. They make the league better. They make the world better. Not just saying it. Even in the lean years when they were not competitive, they still would show up every single Sunday in the elements, hard-nosed, tough, cheering for their team. I love them. And they do make the show better, and they do make the world better. I root for that. Because, as always, all together now, I'm rooting for something to talk about. So, when we talk about the show, oftentimes the biggest topic on the show is the show itself. And then when you talk about the topic being the biggest show or the biggest topic on the show itself, you go to a very small fraternity or community of elite callers. You have the BIC. And you have the RIB. RIB. What's he talking about? Freaking Rick in Buffalo. That's what I'm talking about. Where has this guy been? Understandably, knowing Rick the way I know Rick, he probably went hard. Hour number one might have been too big of an ask. But better late than never. He skips the line. He goes right to the front. He is Rick in Buffalo. My brother, what's going on?
I didn't think Taron Johnson's pick six last year could ever be topped. But my man Micah Hyde did exactly that on Saturday night. The play that officially killed New England once and for all. In watching Josh Allen crap on the corpse for the next 3 hours was the best thing my beautiful eyes have ever seen. And since those chowderhead media a-holes are so obsessed with Allen's cold weather stats, let me provide a quick update. In sub-zero wind chills, number 17 is 1-0 with a near-perfect QBR, 5 TDs, no picks, leading his team to 7 touchdowns on 7 drives, tossing the first postseason perfect game since Don Larson in 1956. Go ahead and sum that one out, Zolak, you third-stringer turned play-by-play hack. And not only did we exercise all the demons on Saturday night, Jim, we exposed the hoodie for the head coaching fraud he really is. How about this for some data? Without Brady, old Billy Boy's career record is 70-78 with 1 playoff win. By comparison, Wade Phillips' career record is 82-64 with 1 playoff win. So when it's all said and done, hoodie will go down as nothing more than a poor man's bum son. And how stupid must that old pervert Bob Kraft be feeling right about now for choosing Belichick over Tommy Boy? His decision to order the full release after the AFC title game 3 years ago was pure genius by comparison. And did little Josh McDaniels really call for a fake spike down 27 at the end of the first half, other than changing Mac Jones' diaper at halftime, then breastfeeding him after the game? McDaniels has rendered himself pretty much useless. Wore Devin Singletary morphing into Thurman Thomas at the perfect possible time. Wore Martin Luther King Jr., gone but never forgotten. Unwar Jackson Mahomes. If I ever cross paths with that little punk, I'm going to have my five-year-old kick his ass. Thanks for the vine, Jim. Who loves you, baby?
Rock him! Freaking Rick in Buffalo. He is the best. My man, Rick in Buffalo. Much like the Buffalo Bills on the big stage, you have to live up to the hype, and Rick just did. That's the kind of call that I expect that guy to make after a beatdown like that, and lived up to it. Did not disappoint at all. This is why I allow people like that to cut the line, because he makes it better. Yeah, and how many of you hate that guy? And how many of the people hosting this show care that you hate that guy? Not me, not this guy. Nice job, Rick. Way to go. Buffalo has every right to talk that kind of junk. Did he really just not only compare Bill Belichick to Bum's son, but say that his numbers aren't even as good as Bum's son? Wade Phillips? Incredible. Sometimes the numbers lie, but that's a great call by Rick in Buffalo. Wore the RIB. You may hear that call back. If you don't want to hear that call back, at the end of the day, in the form of a huge call, make a better call. If you don't want to hear that call again, make a better call. 1-800-636-8686. Really quickly, some email reaction. I've got an ATP coming up too. Chalk ATP. Look for that. Don't need it this second. Just a quick reminder. Chalk's on it. Doing his job. He's the AP. We could use a few more, though, he did say. ATP. Dear Jim, love the EJ Liddell interview. Great to hear that he was real enough with himself to not enter the NBA draft and return to Ohio State. Love to hear how he dealt with the knuckleheads who have no life and made those idiotic death threats on social media. It's just a game. We'll now have a reason to pay attention to Ohio State's men's basketball from now on and down the stretch through March. Ryan from Albuquerque. That is a different dude. EJ Liddell. Great kid. Stucknut. Quote, Rick sounds pissed. Didn't the Bills win? That's a great point. That actually was him happy. You should hear him when he's pissed. He's always pissed. Jet City Daniel. Rick is so happy, he's pissed. I love the confusion. Is he pissed or is he happy? Or is he so happy he's pissed? At Dale Diamond 5. Jim waited until the last hour to give Rick from Buff his soapbox. I thought this guy passed away since he wasn't opening up the show. He is the best at being Rick in Buff. That is all. I didn't wait until the last hour. I put him up the second he called. He didn't call until the last hour. I didn't wait. Like I said, you can cut the line. I'll even put aside what I'm doing if your call is as good as what I'm doing. It usually isn't. But if it is, I'll put aside what I'm doing. Believe it or not, I'm not the egomaniac you think I am. I'm going to do what's best for the show. It's always about the show. I've said this since day one. If we take care of the show will take care of everybody who works on the show. We do what's best for the show. At Arizona Wilson 99, holy cow, Rick in Buffalo just won the smack off in January. He didn't do that. He's going to have to show up the day of and win it that day. But he has shown up the day of and coming second. Obviously, he's good enough. He clearly won the day. He won January 17th. No one's topping that. Carlin Prescott is in. Quote, not sure why Rogan isn't coming here and joining our family. Signed, Brian Kelly.
Family!
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think that's the thing about the Rome boys. I think they're more Big Ten than they are SEC, and that's not a shot at the SEC at all. A lot of the kids, I say kids, high school kids, there are a lot of people, believe it or not, in my part of California that are SEC. A lot of kids have gone to Bama, and they love it. They love it. But I think that my two boys, I got a feeling that Logan may end up in Boulder. But we'll see. He'll take the trip to Columbus, and maybe that wins. 115 USA tweets, the RIB made my seven-year-old laugh. More Rick and Buffalo. Good. That's what I'm talking about. We got to hit that younger demo. I don't want you calling up and saying the RIB made my 87-year-old laugh. We got to start them young. That's it. I want to put like Rick and Buffalo. I want them to sample Rick and Buffalo early on. Let's see here. Josh Schmid is in. Rick and Buffalo telling the jungle what all of us in the Bills Mafia are feeling after that game. Wore Devin Singletary turning into Thurman Thomas, indeed. Wore Josh Allen turning into Joe Montana with that throw to Knox. Boy, there's something to that, right? I mean, like, he literally was throwing that ball away. He was throwing that ball away. That's always been the big question about Joe Montana to Dwight Clark. Was he throwing it away? Was he throwing it away? Nobody's ever really going to answer that question. The thing is, Josh Allen did answer that question. He went back to the bench like, I was throwing that ball away. And then everybody's celebrating like, what happened? Guys made a play. Knox made a play. At Bubba Blem, Richard in Buffalo has me ready to go through a brick wall right now. Hashtag war throat lozenges.
Who loves you, baby?
Apple pasta is in. I love it. How many callers elicit this kind of response? Three, four, maybe? At Apple Pasta, Jim, normally I turn the show off when Rick in Buffalo calls to howl, but given what the Bills just did, I suffered through it. What are you talking about? It's awesome. He made that so much better. Altamir M85, quote, you think clock management was bad last night? Try ordering two double-double animal styles last night. Signed, Mike Double Chin McCarthy. All right, now you're getting off track.
Is that the quote you're looking for?
Why would you turn off this show when Rick calls? He's one of the best callers to the show ever. Like, he's a top five caller in the history of this show. Why would you turn it off when there are so many bad calls? So many bad calls. Why would you turn off when a legendary caller calls? That makes no sense. If you were to turn that call off, you would miss that crackback on Josh McDaniels changing Mac's diaper and then breastfeeding him. Where else are you going to get that? Only from the RIB, Rick in Buffalo.
Isn't this little Josh McDaniels really call for a fake spike down 27 at the end of the first half, other than changing Mac Jones' diaper at halftime? Then breastfeeding him after the game. McDaniels has rendered himself pretty much useless.
I mean, what a line. Other than changing Mac Jones's diaper at halftime and breastfeeding him after the game, Josh McDaniels has rendered himself pretty much useless. If you turn the radio off, or whatever platform you're on, when this guy calls, you're not going to hear that. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss Josh McDaniels breastfeeding Mac Jones smack. I know I don't. Ian McLean, Jim, don't forget to give some love to the new America's team. The Bengals broke a 31-year curse and finally got us a playoff win. St. Joe led the charge, and we are on to Tennessee. Ian in the Natty wore big head bets. Like I said, you're not getting the credit you deserve. I agree, because I do have a take on the Bengals. You deserve more credit than you're getting right now. I love what they did. I love what they did. I love what they're building, And man, I love Joe Burrow. This guy's incredible. He is special. Really special. And they're more than just him, but they all do line up and follow him. When we come back, one last segment. Maybe I will talk about them. Or I'll bang telephone calls. If you don't like what Rick said, do better. Good luck. ATP, time to ask or answer the Ask the Pros question, where you get to submit a question. And you submit it to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, and it's always brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you're on hold, stay there. First in ATP or two. Hi, Jim. Who is the bigger influence over which college Logan chooses, you, Janet, or Logan? Thanks, Bellby in Calgary. Interesting question. We all have a say in it. Everybody. Like, I would never make either one of the kids go to a college that they don't want to go to, that I want them to go to, obviously. As an example, I've told you the story. Like, Jake got it in his head that he wanted to go to NYU. And this is nothing against NYU. NYU is incredible. But he got it in his head that he wanted to go to NYU without ever having even visited New York City. I'm like, son, that does not make sense. How do you know you want to go to NYU if you've never been to New York? He's kind of got it in his head because I want to go to school and live in the city. I said, that's fine. But I would like for you to look at a college town because you can always go and live and work in the city for the rest of your life. Go to Madison. Everybody that I know, or even have heard of that went to Wisconsin loved it. It's 100% hit rate. And then he went and he loved it. So anyway, who's got the bigger influence? We all have a vote, but I'm going to say, Bella, at the end of the day, maybe the person who scratches the check has the biggest vote, maybe, or at least the biggest veto. We're all kind of equal. We just want what's best for the kids as long as they respect the opportunity. So I'm going to say it's pretty much 33-33-33. Mr. Rome, you call Mrs. Rome, Dodger Jano. Does Mrs. Rome have a nickname for you? Bill's Jimmo? No, I mean, she has other nicknames that she prefers that I prefer not to share on the air. I'd rather not share her nickname for me on the air. There are more benign ones like Jimmo's. I get a Jimmo's once in a while. Dodger Jano is big on like sweetheart, honey, things like that. I get a lot of that from her. She's sweet like that. Hey, Jim, has your man Dave sent you your outfit for next weekend? Did it include mittens? Because it should. Hopefully for the sake of your digits, Dave goes with function over fashion. Matt and AK. First of all, Dave is David to me. I don't Dave him. David August. You know, he has not sent me my things yet, but I will tell you this. I hit him up first thing this morning. After watching Buffalo on Saturday night, I was having pretty heinous flashbacks to my time in Kansas City. And I'm watching Evan Washburn, and I have no idea how this guy's getting through it. I want to know, other than the broth, how my man got through that on the field the entire game. Because I barely survived the pregame show in Kansas City. So I immediately hit up David August this morning and said, my man, what are we doing for footwear? I don't care how it looks. If I got to go combat boots, number one, they're probably not shooting me down there. And number two, I don't care if they are. I need to start down there. My feet have to be warmer. I need a better plan. And he immediately, David August is super busy. David August, I can watch people on TV all the time and immediately know who's the David August client. His stuff is that nice. Like, I always know. And he is super busy. He got back right away, like within the hour. He's like, I got you. I got you. I'm like, good. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I tend to think he's not going to go mittens. I'm going to ask him. He'll get a kick out of that being a topic on the show. And I know he'll have a take. But he's more of a glove guy, I think, than a mitten guy. But you're right. What am I going with? Form or fashion? Function or fashion? I know how miserable I was and that it affected performance. I got to stay warm. I don't want lockjaw again. Let's go to Niagara Falls. Diane. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Well, before I'm always wonderful when I call you guys. But before the clones turn the radio off, yes, this is Diane from Niagara Falls, and yes, she's going to talk some racing. But before I do that, I'm not a one-trick pony here. I do talk about other sports. My mom raised us well. And I just want to shout out to Rick. That call was incredible. But to all the courageous Bills fans, my sister Patty Bax, one of them, season ticket holder, out there freezing. Kyle Brandt was there too, Jim.
I know he was. I saw him.
Yeah, and you don't give yourself enough credit, dear, because my sister Patty called me last night and said, you got to listen to the Bills podcast. She said, Jim's on there talking about shared beliefs. So that was wild. Nice job. You brought the karma. You brought the karma, Jim.
Like I said, the Bills, if an owner of an NFL franchise says, I want you on my podcast, then the answer is absolutely yes. And number two, you know how it is, Diane. You know how I am with the Bills and that franchise. So, no, I don't think we can't give karma to that. I can't take credit for that, but I do love that team.
Well, I'm so excited for my sister and my sister Mary, who passed last year. I'm sure she's up in heaven in the front row, pushing them on. So, and the best was beating Hoodie, because I totally agree with Rick. Not a Hoodie fan. and I kept thinking when I was watching San Francisco, how here's Garofalo out there getting in the playoffs, and where's Hoodie? So you think he's going to go to the Giants? Back to the Giants?
We'll see about that, right? I think there's going to be some interest. They need some quarterback help right there. We'll wait and see one game at a time. They've got a big one coming up right now. Yeah, Jimmy G is something, right? Like you want to say that you can't really trust him in the big moments, but he did have them in the Super Bowl. And the guy's made a lot of plays. And when they need him to make plays, he did make plays. So we'll see. All right, Diane, thank you very much. Good to have you on. I think she was asking me if Jimmy G would go to the Giants. I think. Why? You got Danny Dimes. Back to the Giants. Let's not get into him going back to the Giants. Maybe we stick to the ponies. I like Diane. I'm going to overlook her asking if Jimmy G's going to go back to the Giants. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Let's get a huge call in here. Huge call today brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Was there any doubt who was going to rip it today?
I didn't think Taron Johnson's pick six last year could ever be topped. But my man Micah Hyde did exactly that on Saturday night. The play that officially killed New England once and for all. And watching Josh Allen crap on the corpse for the next 3 hours was the best thing my beautiful eyes have ever seen. And since those chowderhead media a-holes are so obsessed with Allen's cold weather stats, let me provide a quick update. In sub-zero wind chills, number 17 is 1-0 with a near-perfect QBR, 5 TDs, no picks, leading his team to 7 touchdowns on 7 drives, tossing the first postseason perfect game since Don Larson in 1956. Go ahead and sum that one out, Zolak, you third-stringer-turned-play-by-play hack. And not only did we exercise all the demons on Saturday night, Jim, we exposed the Hoodie for the head coaching fraud he really is. How about this for some data? Without Brady, old Billy Boy's career record is 70-78 with one playoff win. By comparison, Wade Phillips' career record is 82-64 with one playoff win. So when it's all said and done, Hoodie will go down as nothing more than a poor man's bum son. And how stupid must that old pervert Bob Kraft be feeling right about now for choosing Belichick over Tommy Boy. His decision to order the full release after the AFC title game 3 years ago was pure genius by comparison. And did little Josh McDaniels really call for a fake spike down 27 at the end of the first half? Other than changing Mac Jones' diaper at halftime, then breastfeeding him after the game.
Be glad my back timing was poor and could not play the entire call. The RIB, Rick in Buffalo. My thanks to Charles Davis, James Kelly. Bonus big head bet segment. He's going Rams minus 3.5. EJ Liddell from Ohio State. Micah Hyde, Buffalo Bills safety. Thank you, clones. Thanks to the XR4TI. Big game tonight. So I'll check it out. We'll be all about it tomorrow. Have a great day. See you then. We're out.